Hey everyone, and welcome to the Game of Thrones Tower of Babel breakdown. As always, I am Julian Musch. I'm joined by Daniel D'Souza.
Yo.
And we're here to review the first episode. No, just kidding. Not yet. That's still like 4 months away. But, or however long is it? What, July now? Or I don't know. It keeps like it's going further and further back. We would basically every other year we would already be into the season.
Yeah, it's sort of like a withdrawal thing at this point.
Yeah. So here we are. We're going to do a bonus pre-season episode. And, you know, there may be one more before the season starts, uncertain. But we kind of wanted to look at some of the off-season news for Game of Thrones coming up to its seventh season, as well as discuss, predictions for the coming season as well. And then also we have a GoFundMe for this season of our Game of Thrones breakdowns. So we want to kind of give you the rundown on that and invite you to come take part and kind of help us out. It'd be super huge. So we'll walk you through what that is and what that kind of means to us and all that. So what we will start with, though, instead of just right away trying to pitch you on something, what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about what happened in the off season, some of the rumors for season 7, and you know what we know, what we don't know. And then we'll get into some other stuff after that. But
son of a bitch, they're like cutting tile in my apartment. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay.
They're cutting tile.
I don't know what they're doing, but it sounds like they're using
it. They're actually jackhammering something right now.
Just started. Some sort of reciprocal saw.
I don't hear it. I don't. Okay. So just pretend it didn't happen. No, that's fine. It's good. It adds character to the show. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of quality we're talking about when it comes
kind of professionalism.
Here's the thing. We can guarantee that the sound quality will be better because I will make Daniel buy a microphone that is not attached to his headphones for that season. All right, so that's what we can guarantee if you back us.
Yeah, I'll for sure do that.
And then you might actually hear that saw. So
I honestly don't know why I haven't at this point.
I've been wondering the same thing, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. So let's see. What do we know about season 7 of Game of Thrones? Either way, it's good to be back talking Game of Thrones because it's been so long. It always feels like forever since the end of the last season, and extra long this time all around. I purposely leave out Game of Thrones news from our regular Tower of Babel podcast because I wanted to do this kind of show. You know, like we could talk about rumors, but we mentioned some things every once in a while. Like if there's someone saying that like George R. R. Martin's going to release the next book, if there's a rumor about that, when's that happening? That's something we might talk about on the regular show too. But, you know, some of the smaller stuff, I save it for this because, you know, it creates for a better show. So, season 7, what do we know? It premieres in July 16th, 2017. And it is the second last season. We know that for sure. That season 8 will be the last season. It's only 7 episodes long, which is the first time that it's not been 10. But we also know that it basically cost them the same amount of money to make a 10 episode season. Take that, you know, for what it is. I think it's going to be pretty big, at least for 7 episodes. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those episodes go longer than an hour. I know we've had a couple that have gone like an hour 5, an hour, I think the longest is like an hour 7 or something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens.
Also, a good chunk of that is going to be like the CG budget is going to be much larger this season. Right?
Yeah, you know,
it's going to have to be.
I haven't gotten there yet, but the rumor is that the dragons are the size of jumbo jets. That's what that's what I've been hearing. Like
there's the dragons on one side, and then we know the White Walkers are going to be a much larger part of the show as well.
We hope so. I mean, they've been teasing that in the teaser trailer that came out just recently. We know that the production on season 7 was delayed because they wanted to shoot in the winter. So that makes a lot of sense, right? Winter, they've been talking about winter that it's been coming for a long time. It's finally come. So, you know, I don't know where, like which location specifically they wanted winter, probably Northern Ireland. And, you know, I think Iceland is like, it feels like it's always cold there. So I don't know, I don't know how much that, but I also don't know how much is going to be shot like beyond the wall. Cause that was what all the beyond the wall stuff was in Iceland. So I don't know actually if they've been there this season.
That's where the White Walkers are coming from. At least a decent little bit.
But I think it's like that's where they're coming from. I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time with them just by themselves. Like they don't really speak. So,
or as far as they're gonna take down the wall, man. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why, just like John said, don't let the wall fall down while I'm away. So it took just as much money, and it also took just as long to shoot the 7-episode season as it would to shoot a 10-episode season. How do you feel about the shortened, condensed format?
I mean, I hate it. I think I've said that before on the show. Just because one of the main complaints we've had is that it's started to feel rushed, right? And now there's an even stricter deadline on the show. You know, it's 7 episodes, and then they confirmed that the last season is only going to be 6.
Mm, I believe so. Yeah.
So it feels like there's so much that needs to happen. Like so many questions that need answering, and it's like why are we condensing it? Why are we
But aren't we at the
why
end
are we rushing through it?
But aren't we at the end game? Like, isn't this the third act of the story?
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, do we really need to draw it out? We've discussed the Marvel Netflix stuff on the Tower of Babel podcast before, and how it always feels too long, and those are 12 episodes, 13. And 13, and too long, the back half doesn't always, it feels bloated, they're trying to stretch it out. If they only have, like I said, the third act left to tell, do we really want that stretched, or just tell the story that needs to be told?
No, of course. Like I understand that philosophy. I just don't think that we're there yet, given the amount of material that they still have to get through.
Mm, that's fair.
I to a certain degree understand the last season being 6 episodes if it is sort of just wrapping things up, and like this season is more of the climactic battles and whatnot.
What if the last season is just like the final hour and a half of Return of the King?
Yeah, it's just like everybody goes home and has a tea party.
That's right. There's like every episode's a different ending for.
The last book is supposed to be called A Dream of Spring, which is a much more optimistic title than any of the others.
Well, no shit compared to the others.
I don't I get the impression it's not going to be, it'll be like some sort of happy ending, but not for everybody.
There's for sure going to be more deaths this season, right? We didn't lose, I feel like we didn't lose that many major players. I mean.
Oh yeah. I remember at the beginning of last season, we were like, I know I was upset because it seemed like every episode they were just like, okay, you're dead, done, get out of here. And in Dorne, Ariel Hota and Duran Martell, that one hurt me.
The whole Dorne thing was bullshit. It's just we don't know what we're doing with the storyline. We're not sure how to use these characters, so let's just kill them, and let's do it really quickly. And
it's like, and just never address it, never talk about it again. Pretend it never happened.
Strange. It's just a weird talk about rushing things. That's a
there's that that's exactly. And then Roose Bolton as well, probably to a lesser degree, but it just out of left field. And then it's like, oh, okay, he's gone now.
Less so, right? Because that was it. Kind of felt true to Ramsay's
character. It was more about Ramsay than it was about Roose. Yeah.
So I guess here's the thing, 7 episodes, it's going to be fine. I'm confident. I trust the, Weiss and Benioff that they know what they're doing here. They have rarely steered us wrong. Right. So I have to give them the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Do you not get the impression maybe they're just kind of sick of it too? They just want to be out of it.
I get that impression sometimes with some of their interviews, just because you got to imagine it's really tough for them, right?
Yeah, and they're hearing about it every single day from all directions and blah, blah, blah.
And it's a huge, they're basically live and breathe Game of Thrones for the last 8 years,
And for some of us, that'd be a dream job, but.
But the stress, you're talking about the biggest television show on the planet, right? It has more viewers than any show. It's the most, it's really well reviewed. It's extremely it's extremely popular. I don't think you've had a television show this popular in a long, long time, right? So the pressure and the stress that these guys must be under.
Yeah, because as a showrunner, you're the liaison. You're doing pretty much a little bit of everything.
Have you seen some of the behind the scenes stuff where they have to, they're on a plane flying between sets every other day? So they'll be in Croatia where they for King's Landing, and then they'll they'll get on a plane and fly to Ireland for a couple days for shooting there, and then they'll fly to Iceland, then fly back, and like for whatever how long they're shooting for, it's like that has got to be like just hurt your body though, right?
You know, of course, yeah.
Like, when do they even sleep? At the same time, it's like I'm sure they're, you know, well compensated for their stress.
You'd hope so. No, they absolutely are.
Yeah. So the latest teaser, we just got a teaser trailer. This is, we're recording on the 7th of April, and I think it was less than a week ago. We got a teaser trailer for the next season. Very little to go on here. Basically has John, Danny, and Cersei walking and then sitting down on their respective thrones, right?
Yeah.
I guess the one takeaway is that Danny's sitting on the throne in Dragonstone, which is
pretty cool. What that was.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus that seems to be on the internet. Oh,
that was like one of the questions I was going to ask you. Is like, where do we think she's landing?
Well, I mean, it's on the way, right? And it's her ancestral home. It's where she was born.
It's where she was born. That's where Aegon and his sisters landed, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's not technically really on the way at all, but from where they are, yeah, it still kind of makes sense. Because she's not – clearly they're done with Dorne, so she's not going to land in Dorne.
Yeah. We're never going to go back there. Just stop even putting it on the map in the 15.
Yeah, it's never going to be in that opening sequence again.
Yeah, that's fine. There's just nothing – there's no story left to tell there.
Well, I mean, what happened with Ellaria Sand?
Aren't they still upset about the whole, like, the whole Jaime thing? Like, Cersei's probably going to, like, she wants to probably get revenge. They never really did that, right?
Yeah, for Myrcella.
Yeah. So maybe that's still on the table. But after she murdered
everybody. I feel like I need to rewatch the last season or the last couple episodes anyway.
But, like, after she murdered everybody in King's Landing, it's hard to say what she. Although she's kind of basically gone insane. So maybe she won't care about what's going on the rest of it. It's all about revenge now for her. So maybe she'll just turn her gaze towards Dorne and just burn it to the ground.
There's a reckoning coming.
Yeah. What else do we take? Like, the music for the trailer wasn't really a big fan of it. The teaser. It was like a rock song. We talked about this on the last Tower of Babel podcast, and if you're not listening to that, head over to towerofbabel.ca, and that's where you're going to find it all. And the choice of music in trailers and teasers like lately has been just confounding me. Like, I just don't get it. Who's making these decisions?
I think it comes from this sort of philosophy of making things more fun. Like, everything for so long was so like somber or serious in the trailers. Like, we talked about the somber piano, or else the like the epic like wow Inception notes, right? And, like, and well, I guess this is the trend.
Have you seen the trailer for Transformers: The Last Knight?
Yeah, well, I mean, that one can't help it. That's the sound they make.
That's right. Well, no, the whole like the thing is like it's got the somber piano. It has. What's his name? Talking about like just giving this like just dour speech the whole time, and then Optimus Prime like stabs Bumblebee in the chest. So it's like it's a pretty dark. And there's a little girl in the middle of that trailer who's like crying, and she's like, I want to stay, and I want to fight them. It's like, so that one's a whole different story. I mean, this isn't a Transformers podcast, but I just thought that. That one has refused to make any changes. It's just, it's all, it's just sticking to its guns.
Yeah. And in terms of this one, I mean, it's, I don't know what the music really, what to take away from that song choice, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we have to go back. Well, maybe there's something in the lyrics or something we didn't look into deep enough.
Sure.
But
yeah, essentially they're all just sitting down. John's in Winterfell in his ancestral home.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the idea, right? Cersei's not, though. She's in King's Landing. But
that's right.
That's kind of been her ambition since she was a child, so.
That's right. And she doesn't even like Castle Rock, right? She hates it there. Isn't that kind of the.
I don't know. I think she hated it. Like, oh no, she was probably closest to their father out of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But she just had her ambitions, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess the takeaway from this is, like, they all kind of, this is what they've all been searching for since they were children, right? John wanted to be Rob.
Yeah.
Danny wanted to go home, and Cersei wanted the throne, and they've all achieved it in such a weird way, though. Yeah, like,
a roundabout way.
You know. Yeah.
So in season two, we had the War of the Five Kings, right? Season two and three. And now there's one king and two queens, whatever. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue the same way. The War of the One King and Two Queens just doesn't have the same ring to it. You know, and maybe two kings and two queens if you include the Night King, the Knight's King.
The White Walkers. Still doesn't, it's not as catchy.
Yeah, right. 2v2, whatever. So we have these different power structures now in each different spot, right? So we have Dany in the north, in Dragonstone, Jon in the north, Cersei in King's Landing, and then the Night's King beyond the wall doing we don't know what. So where is each one of them looking? I've talked about Cersei's gaze earlier. Where are they going to be pointing the tip of their spear?
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Jon, I guess, is a bit more straightforward, right? His battle is in the north. He doesn't really care about the politics. Like, he does it because he has to, but he knows the true enemy, right?
Yeah.
That's his focus. Nobody else is on that same page. So Cersei is kind of a wild card. How does she react to Jon, you know, to becoming the king in the north, right? Mm-hmm. Losing Roose Bolton, losing all their power in the north. We talked about Dorne already. That's kind of it in terms of her consolidating power. She just took out the entire Tyrell family, right? Mm-hmm. The Roses. So,
There's one particular that's still alive. Elena's still around, and she is going to be pissed.
Yeah, I don't know what she's going to be up to, but that actually will be very interesting. She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Daenerys is probably looking towards King's Landing. Like, she's kind of mirroring the journey of Aegon the Conqueror. You know, go to mm-hmm. Dragonstone mm-hmm. with all your forces, kind of bolster up, and then land right in the middle of the continent. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's been kind of a theme of the series, both in the books and the show, is that it sort of mirrors. It's like history, not necessarily repeating itself, but you know,
but basically is.
Like in a different way, though, right? So the Daenerys, I think her plan would be to be the new Aegon the Conqueror, and then mm-hmm. she's going to get, you know, a wrench in her wheel, sort of thing.
Well, I also think she kind of has the benefit of hindsight, right? And she can kind of look at, you know, the mistakes that her family has made in the past and try to correct them.
Yeah.
And she seems like smart enough that she might not fall into that same trap that her other family members have. So there's that possibility too, that she's going to do it right for the first time.
I think that's her intent, right? We saw that, but we saw her get caught up with that in Meereen, like trying to please everybody and, mm-hmm. and free everybody, and she can't. No one's that big, right?
Yeah, but she has good advisors. She has the best advisors, literally of any.
Even if she were smart, she would need to team up with Olenna Tyrell right away,
which she might.
Yeah. Which something that's something that Tyrion would definitely advise, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm Cersei, I guess my question is, do you march north? Probably not. She does. I don't like
doubtful.
It's doubtful. I feel like she does not have the kind of especially if they know that they have the backing. If like that Rob or sorry Jon has the see I'm already making the mistake. I'm just going to call him Rob from now on. If that Jon has the backing of the Knights of the Eyrie. It would just be a mistake anyway. You're already like your forces are already split. It's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like we talk about, you know, the kings and the queens and whatever. But I already mentioned Cersei as a wild card. But realistically, Littlefinger is the biggest wild card, and he always has been, right? Mm-hmm. And what's his end game?
Chaos is a ladder, Daniel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the tagline for this season is, quote, "The Great War is Here," unquote. And the poster is ice with fire coursing through it. You know, the title of the books is The Song of Ice and Fire, so it makes a lot of sense. I guess, does that image kind of invoke the idea that Danny's going to get more involved with the White Walker situation sooner than we thought?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily sooner than we thought, but that's kind of been the prediction, like, from mm-hmm. the get-go, Mm-hmm. Like, we know that these two opposing forces are eventually going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means by the Great War is clearly, like, it better be. It better not, like, save it all to the last season. The White Walkers have to, like, Daenerys is landing, and the White Walkers are coming, and everything is happening this season.
So...
Because I feel like I said that last season, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, I feel like you always get our hopes up. The Great War.
I was like, last season, I'm pretty sure, like I guarantee the wall's coming down last
season. The Great War, is that... What is the Great War? Is that the war between man and the White Walkers? Is that's the Great War, right? You agree on that? Likely?
I mean, it could go one of two ways. Like, I think that's very likely. The other Great War would be, again, Daenerys as the Conqueror, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the two. And again, both are mirroring past events, whether it's Aegon's conquest or it's the Long Night.
Mm-hmm.
So... realistically, I would say it's more likely the White Walkers. That's the Great War, because we know that's the more important one, right?
It's the war to end all wars. No, that's World War One. Sorry. So there's some new actors this season. The biggest new name to join the Game of Thrones cast is Harry Potter actor Jim Broadbent, who recently revealed he's playing an Archmaester on the show and shot most of his scenes with John Bradley's Samwell Tarly. This has led some to assume that he's playing Maester Marwyn, a.k.a. Marwyn the Mage.
Yeah.
Not Mag.
Very, like, I don't have a lot of, like, nobody really knows a lot about this guy. He's kind of introduced late in the fifth book.
Okay.
Maybe not late, but he's barely a part of the fifth book. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, he's one of the Archmaesters. They're, like, Archbishops, whatever you want to call it.
Right? I'm strangely interested in what's happening with Sam. Is that weird of me?
I don't know that's strange. I'm incredibly interested in what's happening with Sam.
Yeah.
He's one of those characters that, like, I kind of hated at first, but now he's getting progressively more and more interesting.
Well, he was easy to hate, right? Like,
yeah.
He was basically the heel, like, for so long.
And also, like, reading the books, because of the way they're written, like, POV format, it's like, when you're reading a chapter from his perspective, like, you get mad at him sometimes with the way that he thinks.
Yeah,
okay. At first, and, like, I was mad at Sansa at first. And then you have to realize, like, their age and what, you know, where their perspective is, and then it changes. It gets better.
I guess you can still be mad at Sansa, I think.
She's made a lot of dumb decisions. Yeah. Sure.
She takes after her mother. showrunners David Benioff and... hold on, before I move on to that. It's nice to see a Jim Broadbent, you know, well-established actor.
Who's, you know, who he plays in Harry Potter? Because I can't picture him right now. Don't know the name.
Don't have it off the top of my head. Jim Broadbent.
Just keep talking. I'm looking it up.
You're going to Google it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll just move on to the next thing. Showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss revealed at South by Southwest that musician Ed Sheeran will have a cameo in season 7. Which apparently was mostly done as a treat for star Macy Williams, who's a huge fan of Ed Sheeran. Here's the thing. He's, like, a redhead from England. You put him into a scene, and you'd make him look really dirty and scruffy. You wouldn't even know he was there. Like, so totally fine. As long as he doesn't break out into song some point. Who's he playing Harry Potter?
He's, I don't remember his name, but he's, like, the Minister of Magic.
Cool.
That's an odd choice for Marwyn. That's not at all how I pictured Marwyn, just to throw that out there.
Well, we don't know what he's going to look like in the show.
No, but Marwyn was, like, I guess all the other Archmaesters and most of the Maesters are, like, very bookish, very, like, these old men, like, you know, kind of what you picture if you picture, like really old professors or, like, people in academia or else, you know, like the Archbishops and
bad
people,
posture,
papacy. Like, you know, like that kind of stuff. Pycelle, like, that is more what everyone else is. And then Marwyn was some, like, a younger but, like, strong, like, they, in the book he references, like, he looks like he's, like, physically fit and, like, he's on top of things, so just not what I pictured.
It's like a jacked priest. It's like it's weird to, it's like, it's not a common sight, right? So two actors you won't see in season 7 are UFC star Conor McGregor and Angela Lansbury, both of whom were incorrectly rumored to be joining the show. Additionally, Freddie Stroma told IGN he won't be reprising his role as Sam's brother, Dickon, funniest name on the show, for the new season due to being cast on time after time. Black Sails actor Tom Hopper has reportedly replaced him in the part. So I guess that means that we will see Dickon again.
I guess we are seeing Dickon. I didn't know that we needed to, but all right.
Well, he stole the sword. He stole the family sword, right?
Yeah.
So someone's got to go get it back. So yeah, that's it. That's it for new actors, basically, for the season. And some who won't appear. And also, totally fine with, we don't need UFC star Conor McGregor in the show. We don't really need Ed Sheeran either. But I'm somehow more okay with it.
It's not about needing it. Yeah. It's just like a nice little nod for Macy.
So who is all coming together? Major characters are going to come together this season. It's expected that we'll see major characters crossing paths this season. Liam Cunningham confirmed this to IGN, saying, quote, the progress of the show with the White Walkers and all that stuff is pretty obvious. Nobody's going to be able to take this force on their own. So when we've had all these, for all these seasons, disparate stories coming from disparate ends of Westeros, it's been signaled from the end of the last season that there's a lot of people and situations going to come together. It was kind of interesting to see some people who I normally only meet on a red carpet, who that is and what that happens, or what, yeah, when that happens remains to be seen. Okay. Who that is and when that happens remains to be seen. That makes much more sense.
So that's interesting. So yeah. Liam Cunningham is Davos, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So he's in the north with Jon. Mm-hmm. Who do you think, like, do you think it's likely, what I take from that is like maybe Davos is being sent down south to parlay with.
You think?
Maybe Cersei or Dany. I don't know, because I don't really see a lot of characters going up north.
If he
it's not really their prerogative right now.
If he sends Davos, he sends it basically his only advisor down south, who is a knight who is only, you know, is not the most respected of knights, I'd say, right?
No.
So,
and he doesn't have Stannis to back him anymore, right? Either,
so
right?
Who the hell is going to believe him? That would be just a dumb idea.
Yeah.
You know?
I just, like, he's sort of been used in that capacity before.
Right. I guess, like, you're more likely to have Melisandre play a larger role. She, you know, even though she was cast away, she was cast out, you know, that her influence is going to be stronger than if, you know, you send Davos down to talk to people. No one's going to listen. First of all, who's he going to go talk to, and who the hell's going to listen?
Well, again, like, now he would have Jon's authority, right?
Right.
And it's like that you have to recognize, even if you're Cersei, even if you don't care, you have to recognize that Jon is in power in the north. So
yeah,
I mean, talking to this guy is worthwhile.
Does she seem like the reasonable type to you, Dan?
Although, yeah, Cersei would be just as likely to have him burned alive, so.
Right. Maybe go talk to, you know, to talk to Dany and Tyrion and all them. That's more likely.
I imagine the season probably won't start with them already on Dragonstone, but they'll come and it'll be just a shockwave. Like, none of the rest of them have expected this, you know?
What about Jaime? He's kind of a wild card here. He arrives at the end of last season to a smoking hole in the ground that was King's Landing. Where do we see him? He's changed, obviously, a lot since the beginning of the show. We know that. He became, you know, fan favorite very quickly after being everyone's least favorite character for a while. He seemed to have grown somewhat of a conscience. How does he, like, square that away? How does he square away what Cersei did?
It's hard to say. Like, given the way his arc was going at a certain point, you would think that this would have to be the last straw with him, right? With Cersei.
Yeah.
Like, yes. But at the same time, she's done some pretty crazy stuff, and he's been able to get on board with it and still loves her. And like, I think he's said that he always will. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. A lot of people, there's theories about Jaime being the one to eventually kill Cersei.
That would be quite the appropriate, I think. It would work well, I think. If that's what happens, I think that would be, it would be really kind of beautiful.
Like, it needs a lot more, like, around it, though. Like, if he does it because he feels like he has to. But, like, to a degree, though, that's what he's already done. That's why he killed the Mad King. He did it out of duty. As much as everyone hates him for it, he did what he thought was right. So if Cersei were doing something similar, would history repeat itself there, you know?
Yeah, but he was in the Kingsguard at the time. He's not a Kingsguard anymore.
Well, right? I mean, it's still, like, it's still kinslaying, right?
Yeah.
He'd be both Kinslayer and Kingslayer.
Mm-hmm. They sound so much alike, that'd be hard to even distinguish the two. Season 8. So we're going to jump past Season 7 for a minute here. Season 8 is officially going to be the final season. Benioff and Weiss confirmed at South by Southwest that it will only be 6 episodes in length. HBO has indicated that the final season will begin shooting. Hasn't indicated when it'll begin shooting or when it might debut, though presumably it'll be in 2018. And it won't be a movie. Remember that all those rumors about the final season being like a full-scale theatrical released film?
Yeah, I never thought that was like a genuine possibility.
What a weird way to, like, that just, like, it makes no sense. It's one thing to start a movie, like have a movie and then spin it off into TV, you know, looking at you, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But it's another thing to have a show that you assume everyone's caught up with and then put a movie in the theaters. And if you haven't been watching the whole thing, you can't really, you won't really understand what's happening. Or it would have to craft a story that somehow could work for both. And that would just.
Yeah, that seems impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said earlier, it's the most popular TV show basically of all time, right? Like, so like you could count on a pretty good amount of people going to the theater knowing ahead of time what they're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, but like
I kind of get it, but like at the same time, just keep doing what you're doing.
But they don't need your, money. They don't need your money. They already have you subscribing to HBO.
Exactly. Like,
whatever. So that's season 8. And then
there's six episodes. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to talk about season 8 without having, you know, even started season 7, because the way the show works, like, who knows where we would be at the end of the season.
Here's the thing. I've always liked, Stranger Things, which is only 6 episodes, right?
I think it was 8.
I was around there. Either way, these condensed shows.
Yeah, I mean, the first season of Walking Dead is, in my mind, the best season of Walking Dead. And it's only 6 episodes.
Right.
So, I also stopped watching, so I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, because fuck that show. Seriously.
Well, whatever. A lot of people like that show, and there's nothing wrong with it.
I disagree. I think there is actually fundamentally something wrong with that show. But that's for a different podcast. HBO is exploring the option for a potential spinoff with series author George R. R. Martin. In January, HBO programming president Casey Bloys said HBO is in, quote, preliminary ongoing talks, unquote, with Martin about the new show. Quote, these are areas we are exploring, but I wouldn't point to any one and say, this is what we're going to do, unquote. But don't expect David Benioff or D.B. Weiss to be show running this new show. Telling in an interview at South by Southwest, they said, I think HBO might do a spinoff, and I'm looking forward to watching it, said Benioff. I think it's better for them to get new blood in with the new visions.
Yeah, because they're fucking sick of it.
Yeah.
They want out.
Here's the thing. There's almost no chance in hell that there is not going to be a spinoff series for Game of Thrones. You don't just
From HBO's standpoint, it doesn't make sense to not capitalize on this.
You don't
right?
just end Game of Thrones and be like, yeah, that's it. We're done. You know?
At the same time, I feel like HBO, out of any of the networks, we would be the one to do it and be like, nope, that's it, and we're done, and we're moving on, but, right?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how it all depends, right? Could you do a spinoff of Sopranos? Sopranos was huge, right? And it had a very polarizing ending, but like a spinoff of The Sopranos is just like The Sopranos again, right? Like,
And it's also like, what's the point? And at what point does it take away from the original?
Right. With I feel like it's the
same
difference
with The Wire.
Right. The difference with those shows and this one is that like there's so much lore to pull from to tell different stories that don't impact the one that you just watched, right? Either they're set way in the past or set way in the future or, you know, whatever. There's an avenue you can take that doesn't affect or take away from the original story.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to postulate about the way in the future option because, like, it really depends on how this series ends.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, so, that like, who knows if there's a future spinoff possible. In terms of past spinoffs, like, there's plenty of options, but I feel like a lot of them would affect the narrative of this one more than you think, even if they take place 1,000 years earlier.
Yeah, but how would that...
'Cause, like, for me... As a fan of the lore, of the world, a big part of enjoying Game of Thrones and the Song of Ice and Fire as it's written or as it's shown on TV is that there's this certain mystique. There's like this, it feels like there's this history, and we don't necessarily need to explore every aspect of it. It's like we're dealing with these characters and their understanding of their history, right? So if you go back and you show, like, say, for example, Robert's rebellion and him fighting Rhaegar, that's fairly recent history, but like that directly affects it. Or, but if you go back and show the Dance of the Dragons, like you're dealing with a lot of the same themes, you know?
Right, but I guess you're saying, you know, it's how they perceive that past, right? But then that's a whole different look at it, right? So they, you actually see what actually happened, and that colors the way that you can say, okay, this is how they perceive these events from different points of view in the future with the main series that we watched, right?
And it, like I said, there's plenty of options. I don't want them to Hollywood it up and do Robert's Rebellion specifically and just like have it be like, oh, this is young Ned, this is young Robert, this is Lyanna. Like, because all that, that whole mystery around that time is what makes Game of Thrones so powerful in my mind. Mm-hmm.
So on that note, let's move on to discussing kind of our GoFundMe that we have planned. And here's the thing. We have been doing this for now since season 3. Of Game of Thrones. Halfway through season 3 is when we started. It's now going, we're getting to season 7. We really love doing the show. That's never changed. It's a lot of fun. What has changed, though, is our expensive things have gotten more expensive over time. And it's not, you know, so much that we can't afford to do it. It would just be super helpful if you guys could help us out. Is what we're
really I gotta buy a mic, apparently.
Yeah, you really do. And so what we've done, we set up a GoFundMe, and the GoFundMe is at gofundme.com/GOT season 7. 7 being a number, the digit number 7. So GOT season 7, all one word, gofundme.com/GOT season 7. And that is going to help us pay for this next season of Tower of Babel Game of Thrones Breakdowns. Now, we set up a couple rewards. So it's not just, hey, give us money and go away, because that's not fair, and I think it's not also not a lot of fun. So what we've done is, for $5, you guys send us, toss us in a $5 bill in the mail. Just kidding, it's digital, but we'll give you guys a shout out. We'll make sure that you guys, your names are read aloud. That's, you know, obviously if you back something, if you back something, the least you can do is shout, is give credit to the people who helped you put it out there. And then we were just before the show, we just added a new reward that I think is going to be a lot of fun. And so for $10, we are setting up a Slack group. And if you've ever used Slack before, it's basically a group messaging service, a collaboration service that lets you have different conversations about different topics. This one particularly obviously would be about Game of Thrones, but you could talk about anything. And it would be basically a means to just, you know, chat with, you know, other Game of Thrones fans, chat with us maybe right after the show or whatever. And I think that'd be a lot of fun, and it'd be a really good way to interact with you guys. And
it's another way to engage. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's $10. I think it's super reasonable, and I think it would be, again, a lot of fun. So that was the new one. For $50, we do an Ask Me Anything. So we have loyal listener, fan of the show. He's already donated one of these. It's a, like I said, an Ask Me Anything, an AMA, it's Ask Us Anything. So if you donate $50, you can ask us anything at all. We'll be completely honest with you. And I think, again, that's just a lot of fun. Just, and you know, be creative, whatever you want it to be, right? $100, you can buy an ad on the show. So there's 7 episodes, there's 7 slots, $100 you can buy. And it'll be the cheapest ad for anything you'll ever buy. You're never going to get a cheaper, a better deal on an ad on a podcast for $100. And if you, you know, if you, again, $100, whatever you want to advertise, you buy an ad. If you want us to read at something, if you have a pre-recorded thing, whatever it is, we can talk about it then. But that's that tier. I think that's,
yeah, send us your copy, we'll read whatever you choose us to say, right? Sort of thing.
And then at $500, this is kind of the, you know, the upper echelon level. There's only one of these available, and it's a show appearance, which is, you know, appear as a guest on the bonus episode of Game of Thrones. Here's the thing, you know, our goal is $1,000 Canadian. It's not too much for the entire season. If you can reach that goal, then we want to do a bonus episode. But even if we don't, and someone, you know, does the $500, which is crazy. And if you did that, that's amazing. Like, you are the coolest person in the world. We're going to do that. We're going to do that bonus episode regardless, right? That'll happen if someone does that. And then that bonus episode is going to come out if we reach that $1,000 goal, which I think is super, like, totally, totally possible. That's my guess.
Yeah. We also don't know what the bonus episode will be yet.
Well, I'd be talking about recapping the season, talking Game of Thrones, just kind of, we somehow always manage to find a conversation somehow. So
yeah.
There's always something to talk about. And then we also discussed this, and, you know, if we can reach about half, you know, just the 500 level there, then I think what we'll do is we'll put out some of the bloopers, some of the take, like the outtakes from before or after the show, that when me and Daniel just talk about random stuff or something hilarious happens, or I restart the show like 3 or 4 times, which just sometimes happens, which is really funny. So if you have ever go to our YouTube page, which I think is youtube.com/Tower of Babel podcast. It's like the whole thing, Tower of Babel podcast, youtube.com/Tower of Babel podcast. And there's a video in there called, I think, something about Spawn, and it's basically that exact thing. And it's so, like, I think it's hilarious, personally. And that's like
It's a blooper?
Yeah, it's a blooper.
Outtake?
It's an outtake that's one of the only ones that I've ever actually used and put out there into the world. And it's really good. So if you want a taste of, like, what that kind of thing might be, go check that out. But basically, that's kind of what we're looking at as far as the GoFundMe. Again, totally up to you guys. You know, we're still going to, you know, you send us in emails. We're still going to read your emails. That's all. That's still super awesome. Really excited about this season. But we're looking for you guys a little bit of help. We're not trying to, you know, we're not trying to buy a yacht with the money here. I think it's, you know, I think a fairly modest ask.
Well, I think the plan, like, we want to invest, like we've said for a while, in audio quality. Like, no, I am going to buy the mic. I think I'll do it today, actually, just because. But, like, outside of that, there's other things that we can do to make the audio quality a bit more robust.
Well, just anything, like, right? Like, we could, you know, a little bit extra money, we can probably go live every episode, you know, with that kind of stuff, and just basically,
or whatever. If you enjoy this show, you enjoy the show. You don't feel like you owe us anything.
Yeah. My thing. But at the same time, please donate.
Right.
Right. We're coming to you like beggars on the side of the road
with blind.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's not fair. Just think of us like that. Remember, Dan, in the Robin Hood Disney. Remember, Dan? Do you remember Robin Hood?
Yeah,
Disney?
You're talking about alms for the poor.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm talking about when. Remember when Robin Hood's like dressed up as like the blind beggar? And again, that's not what we're. This is what reminds me of this.
Okay.
So he's like, and then the sheriff of Nottingham comes by, and he pretends to give him some money, but he like throws the coin into the cup super hard, so it bounces all the other money out and like takes it.
What does this have to do?
It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Okay, I think the donation thing just reminds me of that. But it's fine. Okay. Just a little aside. But for the record, one of my favorite Disney movies. I think it's super underrated as far as, because it's, the thing is, all these other like stories that the Disney movies have done are generic, you know, these are not their stories, you know, right? But
neither is Robin Hood.
Right, and neither is Robin Hood, but no one fucking talks about Robin Hood. That movie's amazing. I think
I feel like we could talk about that for a good long time, yeah, but that's okay, not
right,
within
right.
this.
But again, not what we're talking about. Again, just back to the GoFundMe for a second. I'll just, like, GoFundMe.com/GOT7, and it'll be huge, 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 huge. We would absolutely love your patronage, and like, again, if you donate any money, you're going to get recognized in some way, and that's the least we can do. So, again, it's weird. It's a strange thing to go to people and ask for donations or whatever. Yeah. It's kind of
Don't know how I feel about it. Like, I feel really conflicted about it.
Right. But it's like, again, I think it'll definitely help improve the show, and it'll guarantee that there'll be, you know, an eighth season, and more content, more fun Game of Thrones talk. Like, this is the most fun that we have, you know, most of the week. So it's not going to make or break us, I'd say, but it would be absolutely.
It would just be helpful, is all it is.
So on that note, I think we can wrap it up there. And I'll just mention, I guess, our Twitter and Facebook stuff. So follow us at Twitter, on Twitter, at Tower Babblecast. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TowerBabblecast. And, you know, remember, we'll be back for the premiere, and that's July 16th. You know, I think we'll probably aim to record Monday nights. Does that seem reasonable, hey, Dan?
We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay. Like either way, I don't want to be too late after the premiere of any or any episode.
Like, we might have to lean towards Sunday nights.
Okay. Like right after.
Like right after. Yeah.
Well, how do you we'll see. We'll talk about it. But like, it doesn't really give a lot of time for sober second thought if you do that. But like really early Monday mornings or something. Except you work at like 6 a.m. So that's
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll talk about it. Either way, we're going to have episodes for you by the time that the premiere comes around.
Yeah.
And your emails. We talked about emails. We're going to read your emails. You know, so you can send in any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that to our email at towerbabblepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't mind doing another bonus episode. Like, I would assume, like, after the actual trailer comes out, we'd have more to talk about. And if there's any emails, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And also, like, I feel like I have a million ideas for, like, spinoffs of the series.
Okay. So we can talk about that. All right, so you write those down. We'll come back with something for you. And, you know, if you feel like leaving us a nice iTunes review, that'd be huge for us. You know, nice little rate and review. That's huge for any podcast and would be really super helpful. We'd appreciate that as well, you know, if you can't make a donation at all. So we'll be back soon, and, you know, worst case, for the premiere, absolutely we'll be there. And gofundme.com/GOT season and the number 7. All right, I think that does it.
Yeah.
We'll see you
guys. Take it easy.
Yeah.